Hello and all, welcome to the Sweet Spot, your go-to golf tipping show, brought to you by the Racing Post. 2024 is here, a fantastic season of golf awaits, and we are back with the Sweet Spot to bring you all of the best tipping ahead of this week's action. Steve Palmer, welcome to a new year. How are you?
Thank you, Jay. Yes, happy new year, as I like to call it. I'm all right. The last time we did this, it was a stinker, wasn't it? The last tournament of 2023, Mauritius Open, was no good. Antoine Rosner teased us rotten and then lost his marbles. But yeah, we move on to 2024 with confidence.
I was trying to leave that in very much in 2023, Steve. We will have a quick glance at the Mauritius Open. It feels like it was years ago now. I mean, there's teasing and there's Rosner-style teasing. I mean, he went deep on the Thursday and it all kind of unraveled from there. And the man that we were doubting, Mr. Oosthuizen, went and got the job done. I mean, proof that never underestimate a South African with an injury.
Yes, if proof was needed. Yeah, Rosner was 11 under par through 14 holes, so miles clear. Yeah, I was just riding the crest of a wave. I was booking a holiday to Mauritius, but then he just, because he had the 59 in his head, then he went to pieces, didn't he? He hooked an iron into the water, and then it just went wrong from there. He finished 6 under par for the tournament. So he's 11 under through 14 and then 6 under through 72, finished in 29th place. And then, yeah, Oosthuizen, Blimey, beware the injured golfer. I mean, you know, carrying that injury was not an issue because the field was so poor, wasn't it? You know, such a pitiful field, world-class player. Yeah, I apologise for putting people off the favourite there. Lessons learned.
How would you review your 2023? I think it's always nice, isn't it, at the start of a new year to look back and review and reflect. Were you happy with your performance?
Yeah. In and out. It depends what happens in the darts, really, whether I go into the new year. I don't really feel like the new year started yet because the World Darts Championship is still going on. If that comes good, then I will start the official new year, which starts on Thursday, in my view, with great confidence.
Any are you changing up anything going into this year or just more of the same goodness?
No, I don't think I'm changing much. No. I'm full of beans, Jack. I'm full of beans. I had a great Christmas. I really enjoyed Christmas. I went to Finland, went to Lapland to see the real Father Christmas. And, you know, he was a tremendous character. I was delighted to meet him. I asked him if he could make Luke Humphreys win the World Darts Championship, and he's good to his word so far. He's wrapped that one up nicely for me. So yeah, I had a great time in Lapland, and I'm feeling good.
Yeah, I mean, if Luke Humphreys has survived some of the matches that he's done so far, we a Christmas miracle may literally have happened. So hopefully we go into this week with some more goodness.
I did well to survive Lapland. He was minus 20 at times. It's obviously cold, isn't it? You go on these trips and you think, oh, this is going to be jolly. And then you get there and, oh, blimey, it is cold. Yeah, it's just what it says on the tin, isn't it?
Minus 20. Did you do any sort of husky rides or activities, yeah?
Husky rides, snowmobile rides. You know, Tommy Tiger was struggling with the temperatures. You know, just being pulled around on huskies and snowmobiles in minus 20 is not everyone's cup of tea. He was a bit angry at times, but the rest of us. Yeah, I thoroughly recommend it. If you get a nice big golf winner, invest in a trip to Lapland because it's a magical place.
How to turn a boy into a man rather quickly, Steve. We've got a tournament this week. I mean, I must say, when you know we went on that little sweet spot hiatus, didn't we, as the golf kind of calmed down. But things have returned rather quickly. I feel still slightly in Christmas mode, but we need to get our heads on quickly.
You're absolutely right. Yeah, it's a difficult time of the year because you've got that crossover between darts and golf. And then on Thursday, we can fully focus on the golf. Darts till Wednesday, then the golf. But yeah, you know, we're well up for this. We've only got one tournament this week and we're going to look ahead to the major season as well. So exciting times.
I know your majors acca is always keenly anticipated by our viewers. So stick around until the end of the show. Well worth hearing who Steve's fancies for the four majors this year. Should we get straight into this week's tournament, Steve?
Yes, the Century, as it's now known.
The Century. OK, it's just the one tournament. This looks like an absolute cracker. There's been a really low scores the last couple of years. It's the Century. It's in Hawaii. Talk us through what course we're playing at this week, Steve.
Yes, it's called the Century now rather than the Century Tournament of Champions because you have a lot of players in this field who are not champions. They changed the qualification criteria You've got 59 runners going to post this week, the biggest field we've ever had for this tournament. There's some players that are really lucky to be there. You know, the likes of Benny Ann and Mackenzie Hughes. They're certainly not champions, but they are in attendance. But
champions in their own right, Steve.
Champions in their own right. Yeah. Well, you're a champion, Jack. You should perhaps be there. But very loose terms. But yeah, they're calling it the Century, which I like. They did need to change that name. But we're at the Plantation Course, which we all know like the back of our hand. We've been watching it since we were knee high to a grasshopper in Maui, Hawaii. 7,596 yards, par 73, four par fives, the traditional home of the PGA Tour curtain raiser. Fairways like runways, you know, wide open fairways. You'll see drives over 400 yards this week. You get more 400 yard plus drives here than anywhere else. The ball just runs and runs. The terrain is firmer and faster than ever these days. And without any wind, really low scoring affair this. You know, short game skills are the most important for me. The terrain is undulating, the greens are massive, good chipping, solid putting are the keys to success. Look at the honours board. You've got Steve Stricker there, Zach Johnson, Jordan Spieth, Patrick Reed, Cameron Smith. Short game class is the key, I think. And then a bit of power off the tee is a bonus as well. You've got seven holes that are longer than 500 yards. 59 going to the post, no cut. And we must mention it's one of these designated elevated signature events. We got three words to go for now because they call them signature events now. $20 million in the pot,
and the defending champion will not be returning for obvious reasons.
Well, this is it, Jack. For the second time, yeah, I feel sorry for the Century boys, whoever they are, and girls. I mean, the Century boys and girls must be fuming because Cameron Smith, of course, won the tournament 2 years ago and then bolted to live, and Jon Rahm has done the same. So those two have been dominating it the last 2 years, but we'll have a new champion this year.
Absolutely. Big field for this tournament, as Steve mentioned. Let's take a brief look at the top of the market. Scottie Scheffler is your favourite, around about 11-2 at time of recording. Victor Hovland next best, 8-1. Morikawa, 14s. Max Homa, same price. Patrick Cantlay, 16s. Scheffler, the same. Ludvig Åberg, around about 14-1, 16-1. It is a competitive field, this, Steve. Very much looking forward to it. How many selections have you got?
We got three selections at healthy prices.
Okay, looking forward to it. What's the first healthy priced selection?
Ricky Fowler. Ricky Fowler at 35-1 as we live and breathe. Loves Kapalua. This place made for shot makers like Fowler. You have to be very creative around here. Lots of uneven lies. Fowler's got those magic hands. Form figures in this event of 6-5-4-5. Never outside the top six in his four starts at Kapalua. You can get six each way places this week. So you'll have history on your side if you do that. Last year was obviously a comeback season for Fowler. He spent the first few months of the season knocking loudly at the door of the winner's enclosure. He was impressing in top class events. He set up a great chance in the US Open, you will remember. Finished fifth there. And then a few weeks later, Rocket Mortgage Classic in July, held his nerve to beat Colin Morikawa and Adam Hadwin in a three-man playoff. That was a long overdue sixth PGA Tour title for Fowler. Little dip afterwards, understandable. Winning had been the target for so long. Bit of mental letdown. He got ill before the Ryder Cup. Didn't make an impact there, but he looked lively last time out in the Grant Thornton Invitational a month ago. Finished sixth with Lexi Thompson as his partner. I suspect the Christmas break will have done him good, Jack. Chance to reflect on 2023, which was a job well done. Chance to freshen up, a chance to refocus. He's the best value for this assignment, if you ask me. He won the Hero World Challenge at Albany in 2017. Yeah, similar mission to this. None of the market leaders appeal. So, Fowler all the way.
Fowler's return to the kind of winner's enclosure, I thought, was one of the nice stories of 2023. I mean, there were plenty, weren't there? It was a great golfing year. I know some of the events that unfolded made you cry at times, Steve, which shows the severity of what was going on. But what changed for Fowler to kind of, you know, get his game going again? Because as he mentioned, it was a good few years out of the limelight, wasn't it?
You're right. I think it might just be evidence of my mental weakness rather than any amazing golf stories. But yeah, Fowler just slowly but sure. Yeah, reunited with Butch Harmon, wasn't he? Getting back with Butch Harmon, the old band back together, and they slowly pieced his game. And yeah, he's a very complete golfer now, Fowler. There's no real weaknesses in there. I'm excited for the year ahead for Ricky. Yeah, all credit for him for not taking the live big bucks. You know, he was one player who was sort of, his form was on the slide. You know, you had a lot of players hit the panic button and took the big bucks from the Saudis and thought, well, yeah, I might not make much money on the PGA Tour. Let's get the easy bucks. But he stuck with it, and then he got his reward with a PGA Tour win. I hope, if I was a neutral, I get behind Ricky Fowler. We love Ricky Fowler, but I'm not a neutral this week. I'm backing him each way at 35-1.
We absolutely do love Fowler. It's not the tournament of champions no longer, but Ricky Fowler could well be a champion this week. Ricky Fowler, first up for Steve. Two selections to go. Who's up next?
Sahith Theegala, 66-1. A disrespectful quote, if you ask me. This is not a tournament debutant, okay? Don't be fooled into thinking this is a tournament debutant. He got in last year. The QB shootout success got him in there, didn't it? I mean, they've been fiddling with this criteria for so long. I don't back debutants in this event. Only two of the last 24 Kapalua editions have been won by a debutant. He is a quirky track. You need to take a look at it before you become a contender for me. Theegala played last year, didn't make an impact, but it's a steep learning curve, as I say. Don't be fooled by that tailed off finish 12 months ago. I think this is a good assignment for Sahith Theegala. Like Fowler, he's got those magic hands, brilliant short game, top-notch putter, and his main weakness is not an issue here, Jack. Sahith can be wild off the tee. He'd admit, be the first to admit that. You've got to be as wild as a ruddy caveman to get in trouble at Kapalua. You know, this is a giant complex. He's good on approach, fantastic on and around the greens. 66-1 is enormous. He's grown in self-belief, Jack. He won the QB shootout with Tom Hoge at the end of 2022, as I mentioned. Then he was ninth on his Masters debut in April last year. Then he won the Fortinet Championship for us in September. This is a 26-year-old rising
September?
Star.
God, that feels so recent.
Yeah, well, it tricks you, don't it, with the way the season works. But that was in September. A field of 59, no cut, enormous each way price. Yeah, we've got to get involved.
It's so fun, isn't it, when you pick out a youngster who you think is going to have huge potential and they do actually come good. Because so often, whether it's football or golf or darts, there's so many up-and-coming stars that never quite make it. So it's like watching a band before they go big. Yeah. You feel cool, don't you?
You do feel cool. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And he's really starting to believe in himself now. Sahith is a very, very modest guy. And when he first came onto the scene, he said he was nowhere near as good as all these other guys. And now he must be starting to realise, ninth in the Masters on debut, I am actually quite handy. Yeah, Victor Hovland's another funny fella. He thought he was rubbish when he came out on the scene. Victor Hovland thought he was nowhere near pro standard. And then he come out and realised, I'm pretty good too. So, it takes time to get the belief. Have you got the belief yet, Jay?
I think I've got the belief. You give me belief, Steve. You raise me up.
Yeah. I think you're the next Jeff Stelling, son. So, I'll back.
Sahith Theegala joins the Steve Palmer stable for this week. One more to add in. Who are we going for?
It's Harris English. 80-1 Harris English, who won this event in 2021, defeating Wacom Neiman in a playoff. You might remember that one. English hit some amazing approach shots on the 18th hole. Under maximum pressure. He finished 11th on his Kapalua debut in 2014. Then he had to wait until that event that he won for his next crack at it. So he hasn't played there much, but when he has, he's loved it. He's also played well in the other Hawaii event, the Sony Open, which we'll have next week. He was fourth in the 2014 Sony, third in the 2015 Sony. I think he's ready to make waves in Hawaii again. He's got his fitness back. English has had a lot of injury issues, but he's back to full throttle now. He was second at Bay Hill last year, third in the Wells Fargo, eighth in the US Open. We're talking about a four-time PGA Tour champion. And and the third and final short game master in my staking plan. I think short game skills are crucial this week. My three, absolutely brilliant on and around the greens.
Does the fact that there's no cut change your approach to this slightly, Steve, or is it much of the same?
It gives you, do you know what? I think I've avoided the market leaders this week, and it gives the market leaders a reason to arrive a bit more sluggish for me. The lesser players are more hungry, aren't they? They would have been practicing on Christmas Day, forget about the turkey. I've got a century to win. Yeah, the big cheeses will be thinking, I'm just going to have another Quavossier, and I'll just turn up when I turn up because there's no cut. I'm not going to miss the cut, and I'll probably, I can come with a late rattle like John Rahm did. He came with a late rattle to defeat Colin Morikawa last year. So, yeah, I don't know. The market leaders have a pretty good record in this, to be fair, but I just wonder whether they'll be a bit sluggish. It's a very early tournament, as we were discussing before we came on air. Normally this tournament, the way the calendar works out, is a little bit later in the year than this. This is very, very soon to be getting in action again.
Well, all we've got to sort of worry about coming back from our Christmas break is remembering our passwords, sort of Google and things like that. These we've got to remember as a whole 6 foot putt. There'll be lots of interest for Scotty Scheffler, Steve. You said that you're not too keen on all of the market leaders. What's putting you off Scotty in particular?
Well, I think it's a watching brief at 11-2. I mean, the price is 11-2 Scheffler. Yeah, and one swallow does not a summer make, Jack. You know, it was all very exciting for us, wasn't it? What we saw in the Hero World Challenge, he was putting well. Scotty Scheffler putting well, and because his ball striking is always so good, if he puts well, he tends to win. So we're all very excited, and I think over time this could be a massive season for Scotty Scheffler. His work with Phil Kenyon is having results, but I just want to see if he puts well again. I can afford at 11-2 to leave him alone, see if this putting improvement is entrenched, because this is a really low scoring event, you know, super low scoring event. This, you know, it's a doddle of a track from tee to green for these guys. You're going to have to putt well to win this, I feel. So, you know, are we certain that Scheffler's going to putt well? I think you need to be at 11-2. And I'm not certain. I'm really encouraged for Scheffler fans, of which I am one. But I'm not certain. And I want to be certain at 11-2. Does that make sense?
Of course it makes sense. Yeah, we were on Victor Hovland not so long back. He's 8-1 this week. Did he make the shortlist?
Well, course form figures of 31 in a field of 42, 30 in a field of 38, 18 in a field of 39. So a dismal course record. And we've mentioned the need for short game class here. You know, Hovland's made short game improvements, but it's still a weakness. So, yeah, I think there's something about this track he doesn't like. I can leave 8-1 alone.
And your favourite Swede is also taking to course. I thought you might just get involved with him in 2024 to see what happens.
Well, we will be getting involved with him. You know, I think he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. Just come up with that one myself. but he's a debutant. I've mentioned I don't back debutants in the century. And he's got a new caddy, as you mentioned, before Christmas. So you've got to get used to a new caddy, a new course, those new irons that you only just had in the bag at the Grant Thornton. So I think there are reasons for avoiding Ludwig Aubert, but I still think he's magnificent.
You mentioned sliced bread there, Stephen, and you laugh, but I picked up an unsliced loaf just before Christmas, and it is awfully awkward because the consistency of slices, you know, when you bring it home and get the blunt bread knife out, does make life slightly tricky.
Yeah, and you can do yourself a mischief, can't you? You can chop a finger off. I mean, yeah, you talk about these market leaders. Scotty Scheffler at 11-2, he might have got some unsliced bread, chop a finger. You never know what's going on. Yeah, a car door. I'm quite comfortable weighing in at the big prices this week. Let's ease our way into the season. Let's be sensible about this.
Looking forward to it, Steve. We'll recap your selections at the end of the show. But it's a great opportunity with a fresh slate to look at the majors ahead this year, and you always like to put together a speculative accumulator that everyone thoroughly enjoys. So let's do that now, shall we, Steve? The Masters will be the first tournament up, and actually, it's not that far away. I think once the calendar turns, you start to look, once the darts is over and your football team is mid-table and going nowhere, Masters is very much the next thing to look forward to. So who are you pinpointing for this one?
It's frightening how quick the calendar goes now, isn't it, Jackie? Yeah, life just gets away from you, doesn't it? But the Masters is the aforementioned Scotty Scheffler. We've mentioned the signs of encouragement in his putting. I think another 4 months getting this putting stroke honed in with Phil Kenyon will make him the man to beat at Augusta. I mean, he was tearing his hair out on the practice putting green at Augusta last year. You might remember he had some real temper tantrums on the practice putting green during the Masters. Still managed to finish 10th in the tournament because his ball striking was just different class all season long. His full Masters form figures are 19, 18, 1, 10. Obviously, he won the event by half the track when we were on him 2 years ago, one of the most joyous weeks of our lives. John Rahm could easily be unsettled by this switch to live. Who knows what frame of mind he's going to turn up in April. Rory McIlroy's relationship with the Cathedral of Pines hit rock bottom last year, didn't it? McIlroy's got this weight on his shoulders when he turns up at Augusta. So I think by far the most likely title contender is Scotty Scheffler, and you can get 9-1.
That was such a complete performance that year he won it, wasn't it? I mean, just tee to green, absolute masterclass. Okay, yeah, that's a good start then. So we've won the Masters, that's all wrapped up. Onto the USPGA. I must say, Steve, out of all of the majors, I always find this one the most difficult to predict. Are you the same?
I don't know. I nearly called you darling.
You just have supreme confidence.
I called you darling. Are you aware of that?
Yeah, I'll take that.
I don't know, darling. It's like when my wife asks me difficult questions. Oh, I don't know, darling. I just went into automatic I don't know, darling mode there. Thank goodness that didn't come out, but then I let it out anyway.
Well, you've said it anyway. So
I don't know, darling.
It literally did come out.
I think all the majors are quite difficult, if we're honest. But the USPGA is made for Rory McIlroy to end this majors victory drought, isn't it? I mean, come on.
I really hope you're right, Steve. I really hope you're right.
I don't think it can happen at the Masters. I mean, he's going to need to employ about 55 sports psychologists to find a way to unlock that brain to forget about the career Grand Slam at the Masters. I mean, yeah, Rory was playing so well going into the Masters last year, and he missed the cut. I mean, it was staggering, but it just showed you that the weight of history on his shoulders. So I see the normal pattern unfolding, I'm afraid to say, for Rory fans, because I think the Masters will be too much. But then the USPGA, the following major, you know, all that weight's lifted again. And he's got a fantastic record in the USPGA. And he's come into a course where he's won before. His last major victory was in the USPGA at Valhalla in 2014. Such a long time between drinks for this fella. You know, so gifted, you know. You know, is he the best player in the world? A lot of people would still say yes. I'd be very, very, very close to saying yes. I think the answer is probably yes, isn't it? And he's gone so long without a victory. So I see him swaggering into a venue that he knows he can conquer. He's won two USPGAs already. The last of them at Valhalla, as I say. So we've got Scheffler winning the Masters, McIlroy winning the USPGA, and then we're halfway towards our 127,159-1 ACCA.
Well, let's move on to the third leg. Just quickly on Rory before. I really hope that we park the Rory kind of media train in 2023. And what I mean by that is, like, you would always see him on the news channels and the rolling news channels, not for winning tournaments, but for having a set. He just became the spokesperson for golf. Yeah. And, like, that's okay to an extent. But I want to see Rory lifting big trophies. I don't care what he thinks about Liv anymore. You know what I mean? Just a bit tired of it all.
He sounds like a very posh Gary Anderson, because he's telling her, like, media, leave the media alone, leave Luke Littler alone, leave Luke Littler alone, let him play his darts. So I can't do a Scottish accent very well. So you're saying Rory McIlroy, leave him alone, let him play his golf.
I'm almost saying to Rory, leave it alone, because I think he wanted to be that person, and I don't think it helped him.
Yeah. I think you're absolutely right. And I don't think he wants to be that person anymore. Obviously, he's quit that role, hasn't he, on the PGA Tour committee. Jordan Spieth has come in to replace him, if I remember rightly. So, McIlroy wants nothing to do with politics anymore. He was completely shafted by all that anyway, wasn't he? You know, he spends all his time in 9-hour meetings trying to, you know, save the PGA Tour, him and Tiger Woods saving the PGA Tour. And then, they get bent over backwards, without being too... coarse about it. I think he's out of the game. I think he's out of that politics. I think he's fully focused. I think he's fully focused on his golf. And I think he'll win a major. I think he'll win a major in 2024.
I really hope so, Steve. I really hope so. US Open up next. We're halfway there. Who are we going for with this one? It's Wyndham Clark that won it last year, wasn't it?
We're halfway there, and we should mention these odds, because the win odds are 127,159-1 the best odds available at the moment. And if you're getting a 50 odds, the six places, which is the best tactic, 50 odds, six places, the each way, the place return is 484-1. So obviously there'll be plenty of skeptics out there saying we can't get a 127,000-1 chance across the line. But, you know, the place return is magnificent as well. And the bookies get twitchy as anything. I mean, you know, I'm going to lay down the gauntlet to the bookmakers right here, right now, because when we did this last year, the biggest bookmaker in the world, shut up shop after a few weeks of taking these ACCAs. They couldn't bear to see any more. I mean, I think it was threatening the existence of this bookmaker if this got over the line. So let's hope that the bookmakers are a bit more up for it, you know, take their chances. And US Open, we're going to go for a bigger price check. bigger prize.
The first show of 2024, and you're sending out warning messages. I mean, we've started strong, haven't we?
Let's see how long they lay this one, because I couldn't believe it when the biggest bookmaker in the world shut up shop last year. Let's see what you got in your locker.
Bigger prize for the US Open. Who are we going for?
Dustin Johnson's going to win the US Open. A regular US Open contender. He was second in 2015, and then he won it in 2016. He's got 7 top tens to his name in this event, including last year. He's definitely in the field. You know, don't get worried about his world ranking. He's got a 10-year US Open exemption from winning it. And he'll be thrilled with Pinehurst as the venue this year. Pinehurst is in North Carolina. DJ is a South Carolina boy. He went to college there, born there. He loves this part of the world. He always gets back there as much as possible. And in the last US Open at Pinehurst, he finished 4th. So I see a 3rd major title for DJ in June.
Okay. DJ, yeah, Pinehurst, looking forward to that one. And then we finished, don't we, with the Open. Last year's winner, Brian Harman. It was a very strange Open last year. I was there and, Brian Harman got over the line. Who's winning it this year?
Well, you're going to be very excited when this is the anchor leg of our ACCA. And it's going to be Xander Schauffele bringing home the bacon. Ooh. You're going to be doing the Schauffele shuffle at Royal Troon this year, Jack. He was 2nd in the 2018 Open at Carnoustie. He won the 2022 Scottish Open. 4 of his last 6 Open appearances have resulted in a top 20 finish. He loves the challenge of links golf. His full record competing in Scotland is 2-10-1-17-42. And I think he's going to fall in love with Troon. Lots of tough tee shots at Troon. Accuracy, tee to green accuracy, fully rewarded. 6 of the last 7 Open champions at Troon have been American. I think Schauffele really fits the mold of a Troon champion. Great record in the event. Loves links golf. Yeah, so 33-1. So, yeah, I haven't mentioned any prices. As we live and breathe, the best prices, the best way to attack this ACCA is 9-1 Scheffler, 10-1 McIlroy, 33-1 Johnson, 33-1 Xander Schauffele. And if you put that those 4 together, as I say, 127,159-1.
That would be a very nice, what would that be, a summer present, a late summer present? That would be delightful.
Yeah, July
fate. Buy a holiday home in Troon, buy a holiday home wherever you want with that kind of cash.
Well, it depends how you play it. I mean, there's nothing, you don't have to just have that bet with one bookmaker, do you? You know, if they do get twitchy, you know, these bookmakers can get twitchy. Have it with every bookmaker you can find, you know, a little bit there, a little bit there, a little bit there, a little bit there, a little bit there. And before you know it, you're retired.
Not the year for Ludwig to pick up a major then?
Well, never played in a major. I'm going to give him time to get used to major arenas. I was tempted. He's played amateur events at Pinehurst. There was one of them. Yeah, I think it's Pinehurst. He's played in the US amateur there, I believe. Didn't do particularly well on the course, though. So, I can leave him alone for a year and then start winning majors next year.
Okay, great stuff, Steve. There'll probably be more of your write-ups, won't there, on Racing Post Sport website regarding that. So if you need to jot them all down further, either skip back on this or head over to the Racing Post Sport website. There's also Steve Palmer dart selections at the moment. We're putting videos out with Steve on there, and it's been going quite well. So that's excellent. Let's just quickly recap your picks for this week, Steve, so people can jot those down. Who's your first again? Let's run through them.
The century is Ricky Fowler, Sahith Theegala, and Harris English.
Okay, brilliant. What does 2024 hold for Steve Palmer?
Well, at the moment, we are focused on the darts. Unashamed, I can't say it. Can you say that one for me?
Unashamedly. Unashamedly. You just wanted a sip of your Diet Coke. I saw you move over there. I must say, Steve, I thought one of the 2023 late resolutions for you was to give up fizzy drinks. Did I make that up?
I've lost my way health-wise over the last fortnight or so, I must admit. Christmas off, does that to a man, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
I mean, I have got a few excuses. I was doing the couch to 5K and really turning my life around. But unfortunately, the day before we flew to Lapland, I did one last run, got a groin injury. And then when you go to Lapland, you get given all this snow gear and these boots. I've never worn boots as heavy as this. It's like being an astronaut. So your feet, you're pulling your feet. I mean, if you're feeble like me, like, oh, can hardly walk. So I had a groin strain, then these massive boots, you know, charging around. It's quite physically grueling, that trip. And I'm in all sorts of trouble. So I've just given up on the running at the moment. I'm back on the Diet Coke. So I had about five turkeys over Christmas. I've let myself go again. But, you know, we can, yeah.
I thought you were going to say that you were so committed to the cause, you did a couch to 5K in Lapland. I mean, that would have been excellent, wouldn't it?
Running in those boots would have been physically impossible, I'd say. But yeah, I will get back on track. But yeah, we'll get the darts out of the way, then we'll focus on golf and fitness. But yeah, there must be darts fans watching this. So I am unashamedly talking about some darts on a golf podcast. But how exciting is this darts world championship? I mean, I've been on Luke Humphreys from the off, and I'm, you know, I was fuming because I backed him at 7-2 before the off, and he was drifting bigger, even though he's winning all his matches, because everyone thought Michael van Gerwen and Luke Littler, the Lukes are just really turning me on. I mean, Luke, I think it's gonna be a Luke Humphreys Luke Littler final, and Luke Littler, sorry, I will wrap up once I start talking, I can't stop, but he's 16 years of age. Do you know how old Phil Taylor was when he won his first world title? Taylor,
30s, was he?
He's a 16-time world champion. He won his first one when he was 29. So, I mean, Luke Littler's 16. If he wins his first one tomorrow, then, he's got a 13-year head start on Phil Taylor. I mean, on our last golf podcast, we were talking about Ludwig Aubert maybe being the only one that could possibly catch Jack Nicklaus. You know, I was sort of doubting whether... You know, I'm starting to think things are possible now. You know, I couldn't believe anyone could catch Phil Taylor. But then here he comes, Luke Littler, 16 years of age. He's got his whole life ahead of him. He can play darts till he's 55, and he... Yeah, he could win about five. Yeah, don't get me started.
I must admit, Steve. I mean, it's been great. I find it slightly depressing that a 16-year-old has made more money in the last 2 days than I will make probably for the next 2 years.
Money. Where's the romance gone? Yeah, but it's inspiring my kids. Like, I put them in front of the telly. Say I say to my daughter, he's only 8 years older than you. You give it 8 years.
No, he's not.
Yeah, I know, he doesn't look that. But yeah, you got 8 years to get as good as that at darts. It's quite high pressure.
Does your daughter want to grow up to be the next Luke the Nuke?
No, she doesn't actually. No, she wants to look after dogs. Wants to be
nice.
a dog breeder. Yeah.
That's a nice dream to have.
Yeah, dogs are nice, aren't they?
Yeah, most of them. We've offended some of them before on this show, but most of them are nice. Yeah.
Forgot about that.
Steve, thanks very much as always. If you are backing this week's selections or indeed the Majors Acca, please remember to do so responsibly. We've got an exciting week next week, Steve. It's all up and running again. What we've got the Sony Open, haven't we? What's the other one we're looking forward
to? We've got a brand new DP World Tour event called the Dubai Invitational. I think that's next week, or it might be the week after, actually. It might just be I can't get my head around this calendar
yet.
We're
in Dubai, aren't we? Yeah.
We're in Dubai. We are. That might be the week after. Let's take each day as it comes.
Producer Will's put the Dubai invitation. He's well across the Gulf.
Oh, is he? Okay.
So hopefully he's right. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Sweet Spot once more. We're really excited for what 2024 holds. I hope you are too. Stay safe, everyone. Bye-bye.